Well, don't quarrel on the journey. Amen? There's my sermon. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn to Genesis chapter 45. Genesis chapter 45. Once upon a time, there was a man named Joseph. Joseph was the number one guy in the land of Egypt, except for the king himself, that being Pharaoh. Joseph was high on the totem pole. He had power, he had influence, he had everything at his fingertips that he could possibly need. But as is the story in a lot of cases, life wasn't always that way for Joseph. Joseph was not from Egypt, even though that's where he had this great position. And so when you go back and look at that story, it's just amazing to realize what God did in his life. You and I can look at this story and we can recognize that no matter where we find ourselves in life, we can know God not only is able to bless us, but is willing to bless us and help us in the midst of tough times. In Genesis chapter 45, I want to look at a piece of verse 18 and then verse 24. Pharaoh is introduced to Joseph's family. He had not known this guy who was second in command to him alone. He had not known his family. But Pharaoh met Joseph's family and he said these words, "Come to me, and I'll give you the best of the land." In other words, he's sending message from Egypt to the land of Canaan, to Joseph's dad and all his family. You come down here and live, and I'll take care of you. There was a famine going on. The famine was not only in Egypt, but it was in the land of Canaan. But the reason he was saying you can come to Egypt is because they had been storing up grain and storing up grain and storing up grain. Everybody knew that Egypt had food. And so Pharaoh is saying to this family, you come here. I think so much of your son Joseph, I will take care of you. And so in the midst of this story, Joseph sends his brothers back to daddy, back to the land of Canaan, to bring the whole family there so that they can be provided for. And he says these words as he sends his brothers away, "Do not quarrel on the journey." Now somebody might say, well, why would they be quarreling on the journey? Why wouldn't they simply be excited? Well, then I'll just tell you, go back and read Genesis 37 through 45. It's a fascinating story of all that's going on in the life of Joseph. Those of you who know it, quick recap. Joseph was the favored son. You say, well, it's not supposed to be that way, but there are a lot of things in life that are not supposed to be the way they are. I remember as a kid seeing the posters up in Sunday school classroom where they would have a picture of Daddy Jacob and his boy with a coat of many colors. And I just always thought, well, that's a neat little story in the Bible. But at a young age, I did not realize that the coat of many colors was a coat of contention. His brothers hated him because they knew he was the favorite. And when he told them his dreams about one day he was going to rise above them, they hated him even more. They decided they were going to kill him one day. But as the Lord provided, they simply sold him into slavery. Who would have thought that had been a blessing instead of the killing? But indeed, he was sold into slavery. In the midst of that long story you read about, he was put into prison in Egypt. Who would have thought that a foreigner put into prison in a foreign country was ever going to get out of that mess? But God took Joseph and raised him up to the highest place in the land of Egypt, second to Pharaoh alone. But God is able to do that. And so one of the things that we recognize in this phrase that I want us to listen to this morning, don't quarrel on the journey. The brothers could have quarreled all the way back home. They could have thought, hey, Reuben, the oldest, could have said, hey, had you left him alone as I told you to, we wouldn't be in this mess. And the others could have easily said to him, had you let us kill him, we wouldn't be in this mess. We quarrel about all kinds of things. But Joseph was in a position to say, don't quarrel on the journey. And I want us to know today that our God is in a position to tell us, do not quarrel on the journey, because I've got this. I'm going to work it out. I can handle the issues of life. So number one, think about the position that God is in to tell us that. Number one, Joseph's position, you see in Genesis 45, verses 25 and 26, they went up from Egypt. In other words, they left Egypt. They went back to Daddy in the land of Canaan, Jacob, and they said to their father, Joseph is alive. Now you need to realize that at this point, it's been somewhere in the neighborhood of 20 years since Jacob saw his son Joseph, and he's thought he was dead all of these years. And Joseph is alive, but he's not only alive, he is ruler over all the land of Egypt. Unlikely story, but isn't it true that the message that you and I have to share with this world is an unlikely story? A God who would love us so much that He would send His only begotten Son, perfect, pure, and holy, to die for the likes of us. An unlikely story, but a true story. Amen. What a joy to be able to share that with others. And so when we think about the position that our God is in, they're sharing this message with their father. Joseph is still alive. We have a message to share with the world. Jesus is still alive. So number one, we need to share that message with one another, because for heaven's sake, if we're not careful, we have become a people in the land of a world who proclaim the resurrection and yet live as if Jesus is dead. He's not dead. He is alive, and He is ruler over everything. And what a joy to be able to know that He is saying, come to me, and I will give you the best of the land. That's what He said through the prophet of Isaiah. Come now, let's reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And He said, if you consent and obey, I will give you the best of the land. This is the message our Father is giving us. It reminds me also of what the Bible says in Psalm 81. I don't have this verse on the screen either. But in Psalm 81, God says, you know what you did? When you were in trouble, you called on me, and I answered you from the hiding place of thunder. You got a problem? Do you have a need? I delivered you from the land of Egypt. All throughout the Old Testament, there's a continual reminder of this incredible God who in His power delivered an entire nation out of bondage, out of Egypt, and gave them the promised land. He said, I delivered you out of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. In other words, if you've got a problem, you come to me. I have a limitless supply with which to meet all your needs. He is in a position to bless us. So, number two, because also He has a perspective that you and I do not have. Now, Joseph said to his brothers when he revealed himself to them, they didn't recognize him at first, but he said, now listen, don't be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here. Let's be clear, they did sell him into slavery. Well, they wanted to kill him first. They did sell him into slavery. They knew it was wrong. They knew now, my goodness, we're guilty. We've been caught. They thought they had gotten away with it. They showed Daddy the coat of many colors dipped in the blood of an animal, and Daddy thought an animal did it, and so they thought it was clear. But they knew they were guilty. But Joseph, in his forgiveness that represents the forgiveness of God, said, you did sell me here, but God sent me here. Isn't it great to know that God is busy? God is busy working in our midst, even when what's happening in our midst is far from perfect. Would you agree that life is sometimes far from perfect? Would you agree that sometimes somebody in the family's been a tattletale? Would you agree that sometimes in the family, somebody's a black sheep? Would you agree that somebody in the family at times has just been a nagging problem? Have you ever experienced a family where people are just thinking, boy, if they would just move out of our town, we'd be better off? You know what I'm saying? Families have problems. This family had problems. A lot of times church families have those same kind of problems. And yet he's saying, listen, you sold me here. It was wrong, but God. So many times the Bible says, but God. I think about, but God being rich in mercy, the scripture says. And so, but God sent me here with something else in mind. And so you realize Joseph is just figuring this out. You know, when Joseph was sold into slavery and he's in this caravan going down to Egypt, he's not thinking, oh, this is okay. I'm going to be number two in Egypt for long. He didn't know that. When he's stuck down there in prison and he's growing a beard and starting to stink and all that kind of stuff and hungry, he doesn't say, oh, it doesn't matter. I'm going to be number. He didn't know all of that yet, but he did know his God. And he trusted his God. But now he's seeing the full picture. And so when Joseph is revealing himself to his brothers who hadn't seen him in 20 years and letting them know what God has done, it's also a testimony of relief from Joseph. He said, oh, listen, God is good. Listen to what he's done. And you need to get in on this. What a privilege for you and me to be able to share with one another to begin with. Isn't it true that sometimes we as brothers and sisters in Christ get misfocused in life and we need another brother or sister in Christ to come to us and say, hey, God's still in a position to do something about this. God still has a perspective that we do not have. We have good news and we need to encourage one another in that. But then so much, what a joy to share with the world. There's hope in the midst of what seems hopeless. Look at verse 6. He says, the famine has been here in these land 2 years. There's 5 more years where there is neither plowing nor harvesting. And so one of the things that this makes me think of is Joseph is saying then, because I've been given this understanding of what's happening in the future, this is going to happen. I want to take care of you. Come down to Egypt. And so as you and I think about that, you realize that if you and I knew the future, now think about this. If you and I knew the future, now here they are, they've got 5 more years of famine. But what if they knew the future beyond that? That Pharaoh was going to die and a new Pharaoh take over who did not know Joseph, did not care about Joseph, and all of a sudden an entire nation is in slave labor for over 400 years. You know, if God came to us periodically and said, hey, I want to tell you what's going to be happening in your future, and this is going to happen next month, this is going to happen 2 months from now, this is going to happen next year, how many of us on some of those points would say, wait, God, let's skip that one? You reckon they would have wanted to skip the 5 years of famine? Oh, yeah, but I bet you they would want to skip 400 years of slavery. Well, then they got out of Egypt and wandered around the wilderness for 40 years. How many of you would like it if God say, hey, just want you to know, because of the unfaithfulness of some of your leaders, you're going to be wandering around for the next 40 years with no leadership? Of course, they had leadership and they had the Word of God, but you know what I mean. You're going to be out here and... But see, it's very interesting. Even when you go back and you read that story, God's perspective on the wilderness was, it was just me and you. He said, I carried you like a father carries a son. I took care of you. Your sandals did not wear out. I fed you every day. Isn't it interesting, God's perspective? And see, we do that because we recognize, we've all quoted the verse, Romans 8:28. It says, and we know that God causes all things to work together for good. Now, we say that verse, and we like that verse, and we especially like that verse when we're on the other side of things and we see how God has worked things out. But so much of the time when we're going through a hard time, we're thinking, oh, my goodness, this ain't going to be pretty. And we just immediately forget, wait, I've got a God that's busy. He's got a perspective that's so different than mine. And so I can trust him because he works all things out together for good to everybody? No, to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. His purpose, not our purpose. And so, for those of us who love God, Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. No, you're not perfect at it, but that's the path upon which you walk. So whether we're in a wilderness, whether we're in bondage, whether we're in a prison, whether we're during a famine, whether we're in the middle of a coronavirus pandemic, whatever it is, our God is still busy working all things out together for good. And it's like, whew, praise the Lord, amen, because we don't have this thing figured out. So God is in a position to say, hey, don't quarrel on the journey. The verse we've quoted much more often like that is, God is in a position to say, be anxious for nothing. Lord, you know what I'm going through. How in the world can I not be anxious about this? But about everything, just pray, and my peace will guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. So what a joy to know that He's able to say that. And one of the things that you recognize is that God is not just, which is wonderful, up on His throne, working all things out together for good, having a perspective that we could never see, but He's also right here. He's poured out His Spirit to be with us. And so we talk about His presence. I put 2 Chronicles 15, 2 there, just to remind you that little part of that verse, the Lord is with you and you are with Him. And I say that because we don't want to just say, well, I can live however I want to for the next month, get to the end of the month, and well, I wonder how God's going to work all that out for good. If I've been living a wicked life, I cannot expect that to turn out good. Now, God can take it all and work it out good for those who love God and those who are called according to His purpose. But through the prophet Jeremiah, God said, listen, this is evil and bitter, and your deeds have withheld good from you. So we don't want to misinterpret these truths. But here is Joseph. You see, he has the presence of God because he's still living with Jehovah being his God. You realize that back in those days, if you lived in the land of Israel, everybody knew Jehovah was the God of the Israelites. If you lived with the Philistines, well, you might have had Dagon as your God. If you were one of the supposed to be outcast Canaanites, maybe you had Baal as your God. If you were in Egypt, you had different gods you worshiped. Okay? But Joseph, even though he was not in Israel, in the land of Canaan, he still had Jehovah as his God. And what that means for me and you is no matter where we find ourselves in life, Jehovah in Christ Jesus is still our God. So it says in Genesis 39, now this is back when Joseph was in Potiphar's house. Potiphar was the captain of the bodyguard. He bought him from this Ishmaelite caravan. And so it says the Lord was with Joseph, so he became a successful man. Not the other way around. Joseph wasn't successful, so God decided to like him. No, he became successful because the Lord was with him. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian, that being Potiphar. And Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him. Now, this is interesting. Potiphar could tell it was Jehovah that was blessing Joseph and not some other God. Well, how would he even know that? Because Joseph did not hide his faith. And so he saw how the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. Again, it had been very easy for Joseph to think, well, Daddy's not around anymore. My brothers hated me. Nobody's here to hold my feet to the fire with the religion that I'm supposed to have. I can just do anything I want to do and nobody cares anyway. So when Potiphar's wife, and let me tell you this, she was gorgeous. No, I wasn't there. I know I'm getting to look that old, but she was gorgeous. Say, how do you know she was gorgeous? Here's the captain of the bodyguard. Other than Pharaoh's wives, he had a beautiful wife. And the Bible says that day after day after day, she tempted Joseph to have an immoral relationship with her. day after day. Joseph could have easily thought, well, God must not care about me. He's not come to rescue me, to get me back to my family, get me back to my daddy that loved me. So God, and so he could have done what a lot of Christian people to do. God, where are you? I just don't believe in God anymore, I don't think. I don't know what God's up to. He didn't do that. He still trusted Jehovah as his God. And so therefore, the Lord being with him, he had the strength to say no. And then the next day, to say no. And then the next day, to say no to Potiphar's wife. And one day when everybody's gone, Potiphar's wife thought, okay, I'm going to tell, look, nobody's here. Nobody's going to see. Come on. And so she latches hold to him. And he says no. And he takes off, and in taking off, she grabs his cloak, and she cries out and falsely accuses him, and Potiphar throws him into prison. Okay, so he's thrown into prison. Instead of just succumbing to temptation, he said, how then could I do this great evil and sin against God? He's falsely accused and thrown into prison. So you see in verse 21, but again, the Lord was with Joseph. See, one of the things that you and I forget is that when we have Jesus Christ reigning on the throne of our heart, he's always on the throne of our heart, no matter where we are in life. Even if we're in a horrible place, the Lord is still with us. Ain't that good news? He's still with us. The Lord was with Joseph, extended kindness to him, gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Verse 22, the chief jailer committed to Joseph's charge all the prisoners who were in the jail so that whatever was done there, Joseph was responsible for it. So the chief jailer did not supervise anything under Joseph's charge because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made to prosper. Now, when you think about this, you got to realize, okay, so there's a little relief in even being in prison because he's kind of put in a position there. But, you know, would he rather be back at home with a daddy who loved him or in prison? You see what I'm saying? Joseph still had no clue what all God was doing, but he still trusted God. You may have no clue what God is doing in your life right now, but trust the Lord. He's busy. He is working. So when you think about this passage and where we are today, God is saying to us, do not quarrel on the journey. Yeah, but you don't know what these people did and these people did. Well, God knows all of that. And he's in a position to tell us, be anxious for nothing. He's in a place that has a perspective on not only where life is now, but where life is going. And his presence with us will bless us even in these difficult times. I've had people say to me before when I'm counseling them, they will say something like, you mean I'm supposed to just sit here and take it? It's like, no, you're supposed to wait on the Lord. You get to wait on the Lord. You've got a God that you can trust, and so you can look to him to provide for you. Wait for the Lord. Because so much of the time what happens is instead of waiting for however God is going to provide, we try to fix it ourselves because we're mad and we're going to fix it and we do it and we think we did the right thing. Rather than not quarreling on the journey, rather than being anxious for nothing and waiting on God's providence. And that's what we see fourthly, that not only is he in a position to help us and has that perspective and his presence is actually with us, but he will provide. It says in verse 8 of chapter 45, Joseph again is saying to his brothers, therefore, get this, it was not you who sent me here. I want to remind you of something that Jesus said. If somebody came up and asked you, who nailed Jesus to the cross? We've got a lot of answers to that. We can say, well, the Roman soldiers did. The Roman soldiers did it because Pilate let it happen. But even though Pilate didn't want it to happen, it happened because of those religious leaders. And then those of us who study the scripture, well, our sins nailed him to the cross. We have a lot of answers to that. But you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, I lay my own life down. I have the authority to do that, and I have the authority to raise it back up. Well, who did it? Well, see, there is a perspective that we get from God that supersedes all other perspectives. Because it is one thing to blame the Roman soldiers. Did they do it? Yes, they did. It is one thing to blame Pilate. Could he have stopped it? Yes, he could have. It is one thing to blame the religious leaders. Did they do it? Yes, they did. It is another thing to blame the mob. Could they have prevented it? They may. Who could have? Because many times the religious leaders wouldn't do something because they were afraid of the crowds because they were believing. Is it true that our sins put Jesus on the cross? We say that in many different ways. But the truth that supersedes it all is that God in His grace gave His own Son and Jesus gave His own life for His own sheep so that we might have life. What a perspective that supersedes it all. What a providence that changes life. And so Joseph is saying, yes, you sold me into slavery. It was wrong. You did it. But the truth is, it really was not you. God sent me here. This is the perspective of God's providence that supersedes everything else. Listen, you and I, God's people, need to know that in the power of Jesus Christ, we live provided for in such a way that His truth and His presence and His perspective and His position, the essence of who He is, supersedes all other opinions, even when our opinions are logically earthside correct. Which means, in relation to do not quarrel on the journey, let's spend more time talking about that perspective that supersedes it all rather than all this other nonsense that comes out of my mouth and your mouth. Listen, God had to provide a way to get His people into Egypt to fulfill His eternal plan. And He did that through a caravan of Ishmaelites. You know that whole story and how unlikely that would be. He did that through a little tattletale boy who ends up getting sold into that slavery, going into Potiphar's house. How is he going to get Joseph known to Pharaoh? Well, God puts him in prison. Well, that just sounds terrible. Let me just tell you what. God is able to do anything no matter where we find ourselves. And Joseph is telling a story to his brothers. Hey, nope, wasn't you. It was God. And look at what God did. He made me a father to Pharaoh. That in and of itself is unbelievable. Pharaoh looked to Joseph as the one he went to get a decision made. But not only it made him a father to Pharaoh, it made him lord over the entire house of Pharaoh. And not only that, he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. Only Jehovah God could do that. But he did. See, most of us would read the story of Joseph, and at any point in there, we would say, boy, he was just dealt a faulty hand. No, God had a plan. And so when you and I think about our own lives, there are times when so many of us think, I've just been dealt a faulty hand. We need to remember the position of our God, the perspective of our God, the presence of our God, and the way He provides for us. Joseph wanted to provide for his family, and so he did. He provided in so many different ways. I want us to jump down from what we've got on the screen. Let's jump down to Genesis 45, 24. We looked at it earlier. God had provided all this. He sent him with all kind of provisions, and he sent him away and said to them, do not quarrel on the journey. You know, at any point, Joseph could have given in to bitterness. You ever been bitter? Whew, I have too. Well, things are happening in life and you just like, stuff starts, you get that bitterness. Joseph could have given in to bitterness. His brothers hated him. They wanted to kill him. And then after all of that, he finds himself having tried to be obedient and faithful to Jehovah God, he goes into prison. Do you wonder if in prison he was ever tempted to think, I should have just gone ahead and had an immoral relationship with Potiphar's wife. That'd have been delightful and life would have been good. That's where a lot of people would have put it. How many times do we get bitter or angry or depressed, discouraged, in despair, and yet this story reminds us that even while tragedy is happening in life, we need to realize God is a busy God and He's working all these things out, and He is saying, be anxious for what? Be anxious for nothing. The verse sounds good when everything's going well, but boy, when we've got these pressures, no, be anxious for nothing. Quit quarreling on the journey. God's got this. Don't give up. Because right now you may be in some kind of pit. You may be in some kind of bondage. You may be in some kind of jail. And Joseph was in all of those, literally. And we might say, you know, what in the world is going on? You know, today in our nation, the church as a whole is ineffective in so many ways. One of the reasons we're so ineffective is because we're spending so much time quarreling about things, bickering about things, griping about things, disagreeing on issues. A lot of times we're being critical even of brothers and sisters in Christ rather than trusting God and sharing with one another. Hey, our God's still on the throne. His perspective is different than ours. Let's trust His perspective when He says, don't quarrel on the journey, be anxious for nothing. Let's trust His presence. He has not abandoned us, but He's right here to help us do whatever we need to do. And He's providing all that we need along the way. And it's His purpose that He's working out. That's number five, His purpose. Look at Genesis 45, 7. Joseph says to his brothers, God sent me before you to preserve for you a remnant in the earth and to keep you alive. Who would have thought? Nobody would have looked at this story anywhere in the middle of it and thought, God's keeping people alive. Looked like we would have been killing everybody. It looked like He was ruining Joseph's life, and a famine was coming to Canaan, and they had all that family bickering. Who would have thought that was going to work out? And yet, he said, God did this to keep you alive. Do you know what Jesus did on the cross? Do you remember what the disciples were thinking? Oh, man, this is going to be great. We're going to be Jesus' right-hand men. He's going to be the king of an earthly kingdom. Oh, this is going to be good. And when all this stuff started happening about the cross and the arrest and all that, why does the Bible say they all left Him and fled? Because that's not what they had in mind. That was not their plan. But God is going to accomplish His plan no matter what ours is, because His plan is there to keep us alive. And that's what He was doing. And so Joseph is excited. Of course, Joseph, this is just dawning on him when he met his brothers and all that. He didn't know all this was happening along the way, but all of a sudden he's realizing, oh, this is why. And so he says in verse 9, hurry and tell Daddy. Oh, I'm alive. I'm Lord over Egypt. Come on down and I'm going to take care of you. He's so excited. He's got good news. So he says to his brothers in verse 11, get this. He says, I will provide for you. Five more years of famine are coming, lest you and your household and all that you have be impoverished. He said, if you don't come, you're going to die. And see, we need to remember what Jesus did for us. He came and He died on the cross. And in the midst of the famine of spiritual darkness in this world, in the midst of the famine of sin, the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to our heart and He's saying, you need to come to Me. You need to come to Me so that you might live and so that you might not die in the famine of sin and the famine of spiritual darkness that this world has always had. You will be destroyed if you do not accept God's provision. Joseph was telling his brothers, you're going to be destroyed if you do not accept My provision. He said, don't do that. Come. I've got good news. Hurry and tell Daddy. It's wonderful that God has worked it out this way. So when we're anxious for nothing, But in everything, tell God and trust Him. The Bible says He'll give us a peace that passes what? All comprehension, all understanding. We don't understand it all, but we experience it as like, we can trust Him. And there's a peace. And when you get to the last chapter of the book of Genesis, you get to the end of the story of a sort. They've all come down to Egypt. Joseph is keeping his promise, taking care of the family. Daddy dies. Jacob dies. Well, the brothers begin to think, Daddy's dead. What if Joseph gets mad at us again? What if he's been kind of holding something back in his heart? They should have known the kind of forgiveness he had already given them. But what if? And Joseph says, no. Don't worry about that. Look at verse 20. He says, as for you, you did mean evil against me. We know you did it. You're guilty. But he wasn't holding that against him. He said, but God meant it for good. You know, only our God can do that. But He can. Isn't it amazing when Satan is using people in the world to have a purpose of evil against us, that our God is still so great, He can mean it for good. And so he says, God did this to bring about this present result to preserve you alive. And that's what we just saw back in chapter 45. So let's finish with verse 21. Notice what it says. Therefore. Okay, here's the concluding thought. So therefore, do not be afraid. How many times in the Word of God does God say, fear not, do not be afraid? Where are we today? We've got all kind of fears in life. A lot of folks are afraid of the virus, by all means. But I'll be honest with you, I'm still experiencing people through all of this who are having all manner of other difficulties in their life that are much more weighty to them than this virus. We've had problems that were very burdensome before the virus ever got here. And yet God is still saying to us, no matter what we're experiencing, do not be afraid. I will provide. Well, the virus comes, we're afraid we might die. He's already provided for that, amen. Oh, the virus comes, the economy might die. He's already provided for that, amen. You know, there's people in my life, if they would do this, I would be in a better place. Yes, you would. And I think here's a life principle. Let's finish with this. People are either living this way. They're either saying, well, if that hadn't happened, sometimes I act a little sarcastic, but you know what I'm doing. Life does hurt. I'm not saying that our emotions aren't real. Okay? Life is hard. If that hadn't happened, my life would be better. If those people hadn't have done that, my life would be better. Life principle, we're either going to live like that. That's going to be our excuse. That's going to be, I'm the victim of this life, and it's not my fault that I'm depressed and I'm defeated. Life is very defeating. It's very hard. But we have a victorious Savior. And so we can either live like that, or we can say, but my God is bigger, and He's conquered, and He's risen from the grave, and I serve this risen Savior, and He's still alive. So what are you suffering today? What are you quarreling about? I suffer things too. I quarrel too. May the Lord forgive us and remind us we've got hope. Sometimes we put it this way, Jesus is our only hope. Oh, but what a hope He is. So, in a few moments, when we sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, it's not just a song to finish the service. It's a song to remind us we have a place to turn that changes everything. And as He changes us, then we have a message. Like Joseph. Joseph had been through so much. Can you imagine that testimony? So great to hear Judson's testimony. Hope you got to read that. And what a blessing. How life changes. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's because of Jesus. How wonderful. How wonderful. And when that life changes, then we want to share. And Joseph wanted to tell his brothers, oh, this is great. Look at what God has done. Come on down here. You're going to be provided for. God is wanting to say to us, hey, listen, I've provided for everything. Come on. I got this. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you. You're still on the throne. You're still in a position to say whatever you want to say, and what you have said to us is what you've always said. Trust me. You can trust me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that your perspective is so beyond ours. Your presence with us gives us a great courage. You provide all along the way, many times in different ways than what we would have thought, but you have never failed. Thank you. Lord, thank you for inviting us to be a part of your purpose, that it might be an eternal purpose for your name's sake, for your kingdom. And Lord, may we find that peace by simply trusting as we look to you, no matter what it is we're experiencing. And we'll praise you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.